you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Here you go, Matt. Here you go, Danny.
Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, just because we respect the Olympics.
Oh, the defense. Show. He can do it all. A true magician with a basketball in his hands. Double team comes. Curry held up. Jump ball to the U.S. with 3.3 seconds left.
A heck of a game played by France. France gave U.S. everything that they wanted. They would not go away. It allowed for moments like that with Steph Curry. You had to put that team away with shots like that.
And what a moment for Steph in his first Olympics to play the hero in back-to-back games. 8 threes, counts for all 24 of his points, and his legacy, although it was already complete, is officially bookended.
Go USA.
Great sports day on Saturday. We'll talk to Mark Grody about Caleb and the Bears in 20 minutes. But you had it start to finish. I was not watching the soccer in the morning.
Oh, my God. The soccer was so good. It was crazy. Like, I was into it. Brazil was playing this insane style where they were just, like, flooding the USA defense. And then the USA would have opportunities to counter. And the fact that it was like, I felt like I knew that, like, Trinity Rodman, it's Dennis Rodman's daughter, and Mallory Swanson, Dansby Swanson's wife. It's like, you know, there was some connectivity there with me. What, Shane? I enjoyed it. And watching with my boy who loves soccer these days, like, we were into it and having a good time.
Good.
No problem with that.
Does he have a meter?
For the radio station?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was first.
All right. Yeah,
and then then Caleb, as presented by Adam Amin.
That was great. Yeah, no, as much Caleb as you want.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And then Team USA hoops. I mean, my God, and all of that before Cubs Sox, and both of those games were compelling.
I got more on the Bears game that we'll do here in just a minute, but the Team USA hoops, man. I know Shane said that he doesn't care. I have cared. I think it's fun to see all of those guys on the same team, but it is interesting. Like, you want the other team to cover. Like, it's not as fun.
You want a good game.
You want a good game, yeah. And you want to see that the world is caught up, and you want to see it then be challenged to see how they respond to adversity, because who becomes the alpha among the alphas? It's easy if you're winning by 40 points. Well, any of our five can win,
mm-hmm.
But the fact that LeBron, KD, and Steph needed to be in the closing lineup of the Serbia game and the France game, it's kind of cool to see, they're being tested in both of these spots, and we haven't seen that very often with Team USA basketball. There's only a couple of times, because we've seen them lose, obviously. That's what the Redeem team was about. But in terms of, like, they got tested and then they persevered and they ultimately won,
mm-hmm.
I think I can think of two, in terms of gold medal games, high profile examples. There's 2008 against Spain when Kobe Bryant does his thing. And it's, you know, that's the Pau and Marc Gasol, Rudy Fernandez, Ricky Rubio. Like, that's an excellent Spain team. U.S. is up 4, and Kobe hits a 4-point play. It was like 2 minutes left in the game, and it was an incredible moment. And then they end up winning, I think, the game by like 9 or 11 points, whatever they win by. But like, Spain was charging. That mm-hmm. game was tight. They were playing tight. Kobe hits the 4-point play. And then this game against France.
Yeah.
when
in Paris.
In Paris.
Talented team with the crowd behind him.
Crowd behind him. Team USA is winning, but then Steph Curry takes over and hits four threes in the last like 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the game or whatever it was. And you're like, oh my God. But that the semifinal game, I know it's not a gold medal game.
Against Serbia.
But that's the comeback. We really have not seen that before.
No, we've seen it. And both of those games, we saw USA have to step up and be at their best and remind the world that it's still our sport. And they did it. And all of those guys wanted to. Man, I love USA basketball. I think it's super fun. And this time around was really cool. Did you see the tweet from September of 2023 when Kyle Kuzma had said, yeah, I mean, being good with the ball is nice, but Team USA is going to need somebody to step up and just play defense and go to the corner. And Devin Booker retweeted that with, I'll do it. And that's in last September. And at the end of Steve Kerr's press conference, he said, shout out to Devin Booker. None of you asked me about him, but to change his role from what he is in the NBA, just a great basketball player. I thought that was so cool and thought that's so indicative of what the process is overall of like everybody having to be selfless. Tyrese Halliburton with the photo on the plane of him with the gold medal and says, when you did nothing on the group project and still got an A.
Yeah, hilarious.
Oh, hilarious.
Handling it way better than the Tatum family.
Oh, my, right, exactly.
But demanding an explanation for his minutes or lack thereof.
Ridiculous, hey, buddy, ridiculous.
You're on Team USA.
You're on Team USA. You just won a gold.
Maybe you've got a beef if you're losing. But you won the gold medal.
Anthony Edwards didn't worry. He's on the bench doing the night-night as Steph is doing his thing.
Yeah.
So all of that. But then Steph, man, I mean, that's a top 10 athlete all time for me. And he has been for a while. But then to see him do that, and there's lots of reasons why he's that guy for me, but just that in the bubble. The best players in the world are in awe of that man. Like buying space and just being that money. And then the last one, he's done that. Like there's like 10 or 15 different times in his NBA life where he's like, he's just so hot and ridiculous. It's like a heat check. I'm just going to go ahead and put this an extra 15 feet in the air.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The back foot with two people in my face and it's money.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that he can do that in that circumstance. We've never seen a shooter like that. He's the best shooter in the history of basketball. And to see him rise up, have the opportunity and do it then was just so gratifying.
It's cool too, because he obviously could have a few gold medals. Just for various circumstances, an ankle injury, a deep playoff run. Like, there have been reasons why he has not been on the team before. He's always said that he wanted to do it, but he's towards the end of his career. This is probably, we don't know for sure, but he's probably going to be a one and done Olympian. And to have that signature of a moment twice, because holding off France in the gold medal game, incredible. But like I said, we've seen it before. I comp that to the Kobe 08 thing. It was with a lead. There's pressure there, but it's with a lead. But they flatly lose if Steph Curry isn't on the team in the semifinal game against Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
They lose the basketball game. That was 17 threes in the two elimination games. I know LeBron was the better player for the whole tournament, and that's what the tournament MVP is about. It's a start-to-finish thing.
Fine.
But Steph Curry, I mean, we'll remember Steph.
Yes, as a closer. We will remember Steph. Yes. As a closer, man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
On a roster, on a team, on a five with Durant an MVP and LeBron a multiple MVP. You know?
Yeah, you saw in
Serbia game, there's five MVPs.
Five MVPs on the floor.
With Jokic, because they had Jokic and Embiid.
Jokic, Embiid, Durant, LeBron, Steph.
Steph. Yeah. And so all those MVPs out there, and that little dude is the closer?
Yeah.
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 He is.
Yes, he is.
It was just an incredible, incredible watch.
Highlight of the day, though, was still Caleb. I'm sorry.
No,
I mean, I'll remember the Steph Curry moment longer than the Caleb first moment, just because it's a more significant like macro sports thing that will be referenced, and we're going to get 1,000 more Caleb Williams highlights that will ultimately drown out his preseason debut.
It's the debut, though, dude.
It's the first time. It's not the first time seeing a Bears quarterback do it, because like you said, that would be dismissive. Mitch had highlights. Fields obviously had one of the great highlight collections in modern Bears history. But it's the first impression establishing of, oh, this is the baseline that we're working from. This is what we have to. He can do this already?
Yeah.
That's what it was to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Baseline, man.
That's interesting.
It's like, here we go.
That's a pretty high floor.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's the starting point. That's like to realize that, like, oh, man, here we go. And all of your group threads lighten up and just like, and the conversation that then takes place. Hey, did you watch Steph? Hey, did you see Steph? Oh, not yet. Well, okay, just watch those drives. Watch those drives. Make sure you watch it if you did not. You know, yeah, no, it definitely was the highlight of the day. I agree. Just a texture says, speaks Steph, a top 10 athlete all time, top 10 hoops or overall. First of all, for me, I'll make my top 10 list sometime. That'd be fun to do.
I was
going to
say, are you just saying top 10, but then you've got 17?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I got to make the list, but like, I think I only have two basketball players.
Who's the other one?
Jordan.
Okay.
I think I got Jordan and Steph as my two hoopers. I mean, Joakim Noah would have an outside shot as my third, you know? But I don't think Joe would end up in my top 10 athletes of all time.
I get it. I get it with Steph.
You get it, right?
Well, sure. Change the game, likable, and you can hit a three.
Hey, yeah. And
there's a relatability to us NARPs, the non-athletic regular person,
yes,
to Steph Curry that obviously is ridiculous. He's 6'4", a world-class athlete in incredible condition. A scratch golfer, a better athlete than any of us. But we can hit a three-pointer. He can hit a three-pointer. There is some degree of relatability.
There is some degree of relatability, yes. And what I've always loved is the connectivity through the years. Like, I remember becoming conscious of him at Davidson and watching that run,
yeah,
as he carried his team. And I'm like, is this little dude actually going to carry this team to the Final Four? And it was close, right? Elite Eight?
Elite Eight, yeah.
Elite Eight. But I remember like, oh, man, that's Del Curry's kid. Holy hell, look at that. Well, he'll never make it in the pros. He's just too slight. But boy, that'd be fun. And then watching him and all the ankle troubles and everything is like... And
all the point guards that got picked in front of him.
All the point guards that got
Johnny
picked in front
Flynn,
of him.
Johnny Flynn, Ricky Rubio.
Yep. And yet... Still, like, and then all the ankle troubles, it was like, oh, his body can't hold up, and he found a way. Then he got thicker and stronger, and he can go into the lane. Like, all the whole arc of the whole thing. And also likable every step of the way, you know?
Yeah.
As a dude. So, yeah, him and Jordan are my two hoopers in the top 10. I gotta make my
list.
Did
you see Caleb rolling out, and he had, like, the picture of him, he had the mouth guard that he was just kind of chewing on, but it wasn't in his mouth?
I didn't. That's Steph's move.
Very Steph Curry-esque.
I didn't see that. Caleb was doing that?
Yeah, the guy plays... Game's slow for him. Like Fields said, it's slowing down. Caleb's got, he's got a thing. He's got an it factor. He's got a swagger. It's a coolness. It's a calmness. It's a the game on a string, eyes in the back of his head, all of that stuff, man. He plays the game with a flair that he will be hated. Like Packers fans will hate Caleb Williams, and it's so awesome. Like Vikings fans will despise Caleb Williams, and it's so damn cool because you're like, that's our guy. It's true.
Yeah.
It'll be infuriating, like the things, like the magician and the tricks and the things that he'll be able to do. That dump off to DeAndre Swift.
Oh man,
that's just natural ability.
That's totally Mahomesian. So yeah, no, the ceiling was there. For the comfort level, you know, to see that and to see the throws on the run. There's just so much, man. It's going to be amazing. By the way, my favorite moment of the whole weekend was something I did not see visually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's the description from Sahadev Sharma and Jesse Rogers of the Jamoke who jumped out of the center field stands on the south side and broke his leg.
Last night, Neris did not have that luxury. And now the fan who jumped out onto the field apparently was injured to the point where he or she needs to be transported off on a little golf cart. Please stay tuned for Zach Zabin's post-game show. That's coming up.
Man, king of the Segway. That's a Hall of Famer right there. That's good.
His buddy got down there and ran around and deked the security a couple of times. You know,
ended up where you always end up.
Yeah, exactly. This guy jumped down, immediately broke his leg.
It's got to be mortifying. You're like, oh, I got to be able to walk this off. I can't walk this one off.
I can't wait to do this. I'm going to avoid these guys. It's going to be like the rodeo. help, help, need a little help here. And then Jesse and Sahada's description of the cart going by the media in the gangway as they waited to go into the clubhouse, you know, the cart going by with the dude in an air cast and his hands zip tied together in the makeshift handcuffs.
It's a tough visual.
Oh, that is an exquisite visual.
Your mom's not going to be
Where's he
going
to go?
He's going to the, they were taking him to the injury room. Apparently.
No, I get that, Speaks, but like, why zip tie his hands? Where's he going to go is what I'm saying.
To send a message. We'll give you medical treatment, but you're also under arrest.
You're also an idiot and you're under arrest and we will zip tie you and it'll be too tight and it will be painful on top of your broken leg that you have, and you deserve 100% of it. And Jesse was like, "Hey, what happened?" Apparently, so hot. Jesse going, "What happened, man? What went on?" It's like, "Oh, I don't know what the guy said or anything, but
yeah, no, I don't. We could probably imagine he said, ow.
And he's probably wasted, but I love
it. I always hope they're wasted.
Oh,
because if you're making that decision sober. Come on, man.
God.
Come on.
Yeah, texture's right. Shane, you got to get broken leg guy. I want to talk to broken leg guy.
Oh,
and see how that felt for him to go. They've written
or at
it
least
up.
His friend.
Yeah, well, either one.
Can we put him in the fold for Thursday, Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, right under the radio.
Does he have cancer?
Cancer's touched everyone's life. It's cancer's touched everyone's
Should
life.
Should we see if he has cancer?
If he has cancer.
Or do we want to give it to him?
That would be fortunate for him in terms of airtime.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately.
Unfortunately,
he's a cancer. Yeah. Well, fortunately, it would be.
Yeah, we'll put him on.
If he's coming on.
Yeah.
Friday, no. Friday's just a shorty after the Cubs game. Tanny. So not then.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean,
but
I don't know.
Danny's still on the air.
Tuesday and Wednesday are good times to get him on. I agree.
Thursday into Friday, though. I'm on the air Friday morning.
That's what I'm
10 a.m.
Oh, yeah,
24 hours, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah, let's put him on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we have a show Friday. We're all together.
Yeah.
I will not be there. I will not be here. I am doing pregame and postgame and the fifth inning of play-by-play for the Cubs on Friday. Very excited. Cubs and Blue Jays. I'm doing that on Friday and Sunday. I got two more ball games, people. Let's go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Tune in for the fifth inning. And the others as
well. Yeah, just the fifth.
Really the fifth.
Turn in for your inning.
I think it's the best inning.
First time being there for two different anthems? No. They wouldn't do that here. They should, though.
They wouldn't do that here. That's right.
Though.
Yeah. Maybe I'll sing O Canada to myself.
Something tells me you will.
In the booth. Two games in a series, though. Like that.
They actually do our national anthem, then they do everything by Michael Bublé because he's Canadian.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
They play that one.
And they do Heart of Gold by Neil Young because he's also Canadian.
We just need two songs. We don't need the third.
Whatever. I'd rather have the Neil Young than the Bublé.
Same.
All right. This guy says we'd have to call the Cook County Detention Center to get him on the phone. No, he's got to be out.
He's probably for one day.
He's got to be out, right?
They bring him in and then, I don't know. What's bail?
As a bit, should we bail him out? Like, as a bit, like, hey, you
divert some
screwed
radiothon
the White Sox.
Dollars.
We'd love to have you out.
With some of the cancer money.
Yeah, I mean, we can't solve all the cancers.
Right.
99.3%
of it goes to cancer research.
It's tough to pick a cancer charity that won't get the money, but
yeah, I'm going to say Brain should get the most of it.
Brain up,
Brain cancer. I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, but this guy gets a little.
Can we not eliminate pancreatic in memory of my mother?
No.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah. I didn't know her.
Yeah. Thank you. All about
no,
Shane.
You didn't, Shane, and that's really sad.
It is.
You really, you would have liked her.
I would have.
Yeah.
She reared a wonderful man.
Oh, you're sweet. Reared. It's disgusting.
That's the word.
Reared him.
Hey. Hey. That's why he likes it. Yeah. It's all coming together.
Stretch.
I had it all up.
Mark Grody. Ties the room together. Bears next on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started.
Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I mean, I know the guy did mornings today, but I just wanted to talk to him. And then Spiegel was like, I want to talk to him. They're like, we want to talk to him. Mark Grody, what'd you think of Caleb Williams?
Hey, and don't worry, I roll out of bed talking Bears no matter what. That is my life. So I took a nap today. I woke up and I was like, Bears. Where am I? Bears. But no, Caleb.
Everybody's doing it, Mark, all over town. It's like we're in that mode where just about all conversational roads are leading to Caleb Williams.
Could it have been a more perfect day? And, you know, Bears fans were on the edges of their seats watching what went down. Here was, you know, my capsule, I think, at this point of Caleb Williams is that I'm so glad we got to see not just him play well, but him bust out all parts of his repertoire, things that he is capable of and, dare I say, famous for from having been an elite college football player. And I'm talking about what I'm sure you guys have been talking about, and that's there's three plays. There's the 25-yard pass to Cole Kmet down the sideline, the pump fake and the throw and the catch, and that's a wow play. So that's the wow variety of his plays. Then you have that little flip to Deontay Swift, where it's like, oh, okay, this guy, I mean, it's impossible. It's amazing that he was able to even see Swift there, but grace under pressure. So we got to see that. And then we got to see even a run, for which there was a reason and an answer for. It wasn't just him randomly taking off, but the 13-yard run on 3rd and 9. So to me, that was the symbolic of the rep. And there's more in that repertoire, but those were some of the things that we saw in college that made him special. So it was good to see all that. I'm glad everybody got to see it.
We did absolutely see the special. We also saw the functional. We've been talking a lot about just the baseline, the operational stuff, some of the basics. We knew how much that had been an issue in training camp. What did you take away from seeing him kind of conduct the offense and do what he has to do on the basic level?
Yeah, I mean, that was heartening to see. And, you know, one of the things, too, is look at this. This was this game Saturday. It's the best I've seen Caleb Williams play so far. And that includes just about every single training camp practice that I have been to where he wasn't stringing together drives. He wasn't, a lot of times, it was even difficult to see like shiny back-to-back plays. So I think that the operation was good. And part of the reason, Speaks, the operation was good, the offensive line was pretty good in this game. You know, they were really, you know, you're missing Nate Davis out there. They go with Matt Pryor at right guard and Coleman Shelton continuing to play the center position. There were multiple times during the broadcast where you heard Adam Amin saying plenty of time where Caleb Williams back to pass, plenty of time. The offensive line had some moments where it wasn't as good, but for the most part, the operation was absolutely solid throughout. And, you know, nobody's out of the woods yet. But I would say it was a thumbs up for sure.
What do you think happens next in terms of playing time and all of that?
Well, you know, they've got their – this is interesting because Matt Eberflus takes those dual practices – very seriously, as we found out last year in Indianapolis, and they will be having the dual practice with the Bengals on Thursday, and I already know he's going to probably feel like he's going to get more out of that day than he's going to get out of the game. I do think, though, that we will see in the Cincinnati game on Saturday, I think we'll probably see Caleb Williams for maybe a full quarter this time. Maybe you give him a third drive, and you know, I think that there's some things, too, that I'd like to see that we didn't see in the game yesterday. One of those is let's take some shots. Hey, when you get it down there, let's take some shots in the end zone instead of handing the ball off multiple times. And I wasn't mad that they did that, but I would like to see Caleb Williams go after that. And then the only other thing that I'd like to see tightened up in the next game is, and this is a process, and I even hesitate to say it because it's so early, but to tighten up the connection with Roma Dunze, which on two occasions was not good enough.
No, that's true. It wasn't good enough. And the one really scary throw to me was the one that they got kind of the gift penalty on the defense with the illegal contact. That was the ball in harm's way. I don't want to see that too often, Mark.
Yeah. That was the one play. He's late to the out route, held the ball just a little bit too long. It's a 3rd and 6 play. He admitted that there was a miscommunication on it. No, that wasn't the touchdown was the attempt in the end zone was the miscommunication. But they were very lucky. I thought that play very well. Roma Dunze was playing defender.
Agreed.
I mean, Cam Lewis, I think that was the defender, was in front of him. And I was like, okay, this is either going to be an interception or offensive interference. Luckily, illegal contact was called and everybody was bailed out on that play. There was a little luck in this game, too. Like, Caleb Williams was great. Take nothing away. But there were some moments of fortune like that one that could have been very different on that play.
Guys, Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, has spoken today and says that he does not expect to play many starters in this week's preseason game versus Chicago. So we'll have the scrimmage like you've been talking about, Groats, and we'll cover it all week. But once that game comes around, not many Bengals starters. I don't know if that kind of thing would affect Eberflus's decision at all or not.
I think it would. I mean, he's kind of been on record as saying that he talks to these coaches, you know, whether it was in his first 2 years or this year, that they do. He didn't share with us specifically what he has talked about with his preseason counterparts this year. But that will be, you know, I imagine he would follow along, unfortunately. And like I said, I mean, the reason that when Danny asked about what's next for Caleb, that's why I said I direct people to that Thursday practice, because that they feel like, I can't remember who it was. It might have even been Justin Fields last year.
Yeah, the Indianapolis practice. They valued that more than the game that week. You're absolutely right.
100%. So I don't expect it to be any different. We know that this organization, more so than the previous regime, the Matt Nagy regime, loves the dual practices. I think that they get a ton out of it, and they do see, I think that they see more value in the practice that they're going to get on Thursday with Cincinnati than the actual game they're going to play on Saturday.
Well, there's also the ability to, like, the fourth preseason game is now earlier, and it's a Thursday, and that game is Saturday. So if they're going to say, we're going to do a hard practice on Thursday, not play guys on Saturday, they then can actually play guys in the last preseason game, because there's 2 weeks between the last preseason game and the start of the season. There used to only be a week.
Absolutely.
And so now it's like you still kind of get it by, because they said, right, between 45 and 55 snaps that they wanted for Caleb in the preseason. I mean,
what do you have, 18?
18 down.
Yeah. So I'd be fine if he didn't, but to hit their number, their stated goal,
27 more.
He needs at least 3 more drives in order to get that number, but maybe it will come.
Could all come.
It could come against the Chiefs Thursday, October or August 22nd.
Yeah, no, that it does make sense. It adds up, and I still want to see him on the field. I know that you're being very by the way, was there a Caleb Williams QB1 party today? I was sleeping.
That was the draft, buddy. That was draft night. That was the jersey. You remember that?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, did you hear that tone in Buddy?
Yeah.
His friend Tone Issues came out.
I'm sorry. This week, I don't want to miss anything this week.
Yeah,
you know, I'm holding on to everything. Everything, I'm cherishing everything.
Yeah, you were
about
sleeping
Danny
at
Parkins.
The start of the show.
Yeah, you missed.
But I was thinking about you, Danny. And
oh, you were dreaming of me and Bears.
You always are.
You and Bears and New York and everything. So, but anyway,
thanks,
are they playing the Giants or Jets this year?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, not this year. Hey, Groats, what are we to make of something you said, which I've heard other people say as well, which is that Caleb played his best so far in the game as opposed to any practice. That's interesting, isn't it? What are we to make of that? Is that because of the competition that is the Bears defense, a willingness to make mistakes and stretch the boundaries in practice? I wonder what we're supposed to make of that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought was, hey, maybe iron does sharpen iron, as much as I hate hearing about that.
Maybe
the defense has taken the next step to top five. Maybe they've made Caleb Williams better, but mostly I just think this guy is I don't even know what the words are. He's a live gamer, man. There's an adrenaline, and I think that he's not the only one. There was a bunch of players out there who probably felt different playing in a game against a different team than their own teammates. And I just think that when you're in actual game setting, in the stadium, in the uniforms, going through the pregame warmups, the anticipation, the buildup, the kickoff, everything, fans in the stands, that adds a different element. And I think that's what some of what Caleb Williams is driven by. And look, I mean, we may have just seen Caleb Williams take a step. I had been predicting that last week we would see the jump for Caleb Williams, and we didn't. But maybe we all, and you guys all got to see it at the same time, Caleb Williams making that jump. Because, again, what we saw in that game is better than anything he has put out so far in training camp when we've been able to watch, and we are able to watch a lot.
Okay, that's good stuff. Top non-Caleb Williams storyline for you was?
How can it not be Austin Booker? I mean, that I'd like to try to, really be B-side and obscure with you, but no, and go Micah Baskerville or something. But Austin Booker was amazing. Like, even on plays where he wasn't getting to the quarterback, he stopped a draw play on a third down. He had a six spin move at one point in time. He is an active body, and I usually kind of like come out with the comparisons, the Max Crosby stuff, but he does play like that. Like when you hear motor from the draft Knicks and things like that, circle Austin Booker. He number 94 was fun to watch, even on the plays where he wasn't getting to the quarterback.
What do you know about Daniel Hardy, who I haven't really thought that much about, who's the yet another rookie edge rusher who had a sack and a half?
I think he was credited with two sacks, I think, by the end.
Yeah. Can you give us a thumbnail on what he's been about so far in camp, Groats?
Yeah, you know what? He has, like, you've called his name. We've seen him flashing at times. I think he's one of those guys where, and maybe I should just put this on me, when I watch him, I'm like, okay, this is nice stuff that he has done in camp and now in the game, but does he really have a chance? Are they really going to take a chance on a guy like that when they have issues opposite of Montez Sweat? But he's been good, and I will say this, like, good on Ryan Poles, as we were all breathlessly and have been breathlessly wondering, who are they going to bring in Ngakoue? How are they going to take care of the opposite edge rusher of Montez Sweat? And I'm not saying they have the answer, but guess what? The defensive line shined. Zach Pickens had a sack. Khalid Kareem was excellent in the game. And, he didn't get in until late, or wasn't, getting as much time as he did until late in the game. He looked absolutely good. Dominic Robinson had a TF. And Daniel Hardy with the two sacks, and Austin Booker did what he did. So who knows? I mean, this could be, aside from watching Caleb Williams, watching what now looks like kind of a legit competition at that spot. And DeMarcus Walker is going to get the first crack at it, but the rotations will be often and heavy. So I love the way they comported themselves in this game.
Thanks for waking up, Grody.
I got you. I'm going back to bed, and I'm going to dream about the Bears and New York City. Take care.
Talk to you buddy. Later, buddy.
He loves
Bye.
New York.
I do.
He really does. So Daniel Hardy, 7th-round draft pick from the Rams in 22, a Bears practice player last year. He eventually transferred and was drafted out of Montana State, but he started at a place called College of the Siskiyous. Siskiyous.
Bless you.
It's a public community college with a campus in Weed in Siskiyou County in Northern California.
What was about Weed?
Yeah. a campus in the town of Weed. Weed, California. With Mount Shasta in the background.
Redundant. Okay.
I think so.
I feel like you're just saying a lot of words I've never heard before.
That's why I wanted
just,
to
like,
do
making
it.
Them up on the spot.
That's why I wanted to do it, Shane. It's fun to, you know, somebody is reading Wikipedia.
And that someone, once again, is you.
Hey, man. You know?
Wikipedia works great on that computer.
Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
It was me. Thank you. Yeah. Siskius. College of the Siskius.
Should we call Swirsk and have him read that sentence? Siskius.
Boop. Boop.
Swirsk hosted with me from 9 to midnight during the Cubs for a Cure radio
broadcast.
Hell yeah.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, 9 to midnight.
And then who do you got for Overton? You got Groats?
Grody. Yeah.
Swirsky followed by Grody?
Swirsky followed. Yeah, so it's you and me. So me, Lawrence, and Layla.
Sure.
10 to 2.
No Burnsy?
No Burnsy.
Oh.
You and me.
He doesn't.
Well, he's anti-cancer.
Yeah, he's pro-cancer.
I'm sorry. He's pro-cancer. Cancer.
Yeah.
The guy loves it.
Yeah.
Famously.
Then you and me, 2 to 6.
Oh, I got a thing.
Yeah, we know. Then me and Aunt Heron.
From 6 to 9.
From 6 to 9. Then.
Damn, she fine.
Chuck Swirsky, 9 to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Grody, midnight till. Was the pre-show?
5:30.
I don't know, dude.
5:30, me and Dustin.
It's coming good. I'm going to check in at the 4 o'clock hour.
Right. Five, me and Dustin.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, five, me
David,
and Dustin.
I hope you're listening. I'm the one that knows the schedule around here. Yeah.
Yeah, five, me and Dustin, 5:30, Molly and Hawk come in.
Tanny's always listening.
I would never listen to the pre-show, is what I'm saying. Like, I tune in when David starts.
Wow, that's terrible. How is Kirkland Shane going to feel about that?
He's going to love it. then that would just be more content that I'm hearing for us to play on our show.
There we go. Perfect.
When he says something dumb.
It's the pregame show. I'm wearing a vest. It's basically how it goes.
He does start that way pretty much every morning. He tells people what he's wearing.
That's good. I had to tell.
Uh-huh.
I had to tell. He's a fashion icon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the
We're
going to
put on a beat reporter today.
Lamont Pope is coming on at 6:45.
Mike Florio's going to be on for the 17th time this week. You know, I hope the Cubs don't see at the end of the ball game tonight.
It was that.
Emmanuel Classy.
Oh, good point.
I hate when that guy comes in the game.
They
I will say,
poorly.
Even though I hate when he comes in because he's so good, he does look good. You know,
yeah,
like
he
comes in, he's got the top hat going, the tails. Well,
the monocle is wild.
I know.
I that's an unfair advantage for him.
And I guess it's a walking stick. It's not a cane because he doesn't need a cane. He walks fine, but still just
other guys just call it a baseball bat.
Right. Yeah. Emmanuel Classy calls it a walking stick.
He's got such great manners.
He looks like Mr. Peanut out there, you know?
I love Dustin so much, by the way.
Yeah,
like I always feel like I have to preface that whenever we like make fun of Dustin.
Why,
I love Dustin.
Is it the mocking? Is that why you have to preface it?
Yeah, I just want to make sure he knows because I know he hears it or like David's texting him. Oh, they're talking about you again.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm running. Sorry. Sorry, I have a golden retriever.
Let me voice text. They're doing it again. Dustin, listen up. There he is.
Oh, man.
Just like golden retrievers.
Don't rub it in my face.
He's going to have hot cancer takes from 5 to 5:30 Friday morning. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's a disgusting way to do talk radio, isn't it?
Afternoons on the score.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
Cubs are there on a work trip. 4-game win streak. Got to keep it going. 9% chance and change, according to Fangraphs, to make the playoffs, but they're still in it. We'll talk to Nico Horner tomorrow. Bad news, though, pregame medically. Ben Brown, they're just shutting him down. Said he can't get him symptom-free, so they're going to just stop with him. They're not calling it season-ending yet, but having issues throwing the baseball with the neck issue.
The first time I heard Council talk about it and we heard Jed talk about it, it was like, whoa, what is this? Remember we asked Jed?
We keep asking him directly if they can tell us what the injury is, and they say no.
Jed
That's
said,
not good.
Yeah, like the question was, can you tell us what's going on with Bet Brown? And he said, not well.
Yeah.
So, you know, and what's interesting is last time I was out there, I saw Ben Brown in the outfield playing long toss. Like throwing the ball, playing long toss, and he was in fact playing with a football. Remember, we saw guys out there playing with a football? Ben Brown was throwing the football, which obviously is the same kind of mechanism. But when he gets to pitching at high intensity is when the pain comes. And they're like, that doesn't seem right. We don't think it's right that your neck hurts that much when you throw. So they keep trying to shut him down. And they said again today, doesn't need surgery, just needs rest. But That's got to be pretty scary for a very important arm, unlikely to see this year.
Yeah, I mean, he matters for the year, but the year is, I know, still in play, but obviously they dug themselves a huge hole. He matters a lot for the future.
He totally matters for this window. Absolutely. Matters as a potential starter in the rotation next year, or a bullpen piece, absolutely, as
or a
closer.
Versatile piece, yep. Or a bulk guy, whatever.
100%.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what his role is going to be, but we know that from his brief stints in the big leagues, he's got such a live arm and great stuff that his stuff plays. He matters.
I'll tell you, in the offseason, if he were healthy and they were like, Ben Brown's going to be our closer, and they just like had him training for that, I'd feel great about it. Come spring training, yeah. I'd be like, hell yeah. And you'd be able to kind of cross that off as something that you need to target, because that guy's got killer stuff in that way.
Would surprise me, though. I don't think that they're going to pigeonhole him as closer, even though closer is a need and an incredibly valuable thing. I mean, the guy showed that he can be a good starter and a no-hit caliber starter and go seven innings. I mean, I think they're going to give him a chance to start, assuming health-wise he can do it.
I think that's probably true. And without a chance, they didn't really even get a chance to have him go back-to-back, or certainly, you know, three times in a week or whatever, like you'd want to be sure your closer could. So without a chance to do that, I'm just saying the arm is that good, and I believe in the kid's makeup that I'd feel okay. I'd feel excited about him in any role, including that one, if all things are being equal.
Yeah, they are in a...
They're not equal, though.
They are not equal.
Things are not equal.
Yeah, but for this team, man, just take two of three the rest of the way, probably gets you into the wild card.
I don't think they can I don't think they can lose a single series. You know?
Well, I mean, that's just not how it works.
Well, but
they've been sweeping, right? So, you know, they've won 5 of 6 and 8 of 10. So, you know, if they would have happened to lose 2 of 3 in there to the Twins, they didn't. And you still do it in that when you zoom out a little bit, obviously that would be fine. But, you know, they won the White Sox series, they won the Twins series, won the Cardinals series. If those two losses happen in a 3-game series, it's fine. But just you got to win 2 out of 3 games. You win 2 out of 3 games down the stretch, and you'll probably eke into a wild card spot.
Maybe
In the mid-80s.
Yeah, but that's the 87 wins, something like that.
87 will get you in.
You think 87 will get you in?
Yeah. I think 80. So
for them, though, having no tiebreakers might need 88.
Makes it a little dicier. So last year was, what, 84 that got you? So that right now they're 59 and 60. So they've got, oh, boy. They got 43 games left.
Hey, man, you did this to yourself.
No, I know I did. But I was just saying, so they got 43 games left. Mm-hmm. So to get to 85 wins, that's 26 and 19. That's doable.
Yeah.
That's doable.
It's doable. I'm trying to think, like, last year, because it's funny, right now.
Oh, wait, no, that's not right.
No?
46 and.
Yeah, I was letting you swim with that.
Yeah, 46 and.
Ask me again if that's doable.
46 and 17. 46 and 17.
Ask me again. Is that doable?
It's doable.
I don't know if your math is right.
Oh, screw you. 26 and 17 gets you to 85
wins. 129, no, 101, no. 126, 148, 116, 152, 117, 103.
26 and 17 gets them to 85 wins.
Oh, that's not enough.
That's not enough. That's what they got to do.
I don't think it's enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you'd have to add. So what do you think they need? 87 wins? You want 87?
I need 87. 20,
that'd be 28 and 15.
Yeah.
It'd be 28 and 15.
28 and 15. All right. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of thing they would need to do.
All right.
I'll say this.
Well, I got you.
A texter pointed it out earlier. Right now, they're what, 9.2%, you said, to make the playoffs? And it's August, right? It's August 12th.
Yeah.
Last year, in early September, they were like 91% to make the playoffs. You remember that?
Oh, well, but yeah, okay.
Okay. So these playoff odds, these playoff percentages.
Yeah, but that's not.
They can bite me, Danny.
No.
Life happens, man.
But that's faulty.
No, it isn't.
I can tell you why it is.
Well, okay, but I'm not interested in that.
Okay.
Oh, show's over. I'm so sorry.
Right.
There's no time for you to tell me why
collapse,
it's faulty.
You just need to lose.
Uh-huh.
To pass the other teams,
yeah,
you need to win
sure.
And the other teams to help you out.
Sure, but.
So it's harder to jump other teams than it is to just free fall.
Well, okay.
Because it is, because you don't have tiebreakers with these teams and you don't play all of these teams.
Yeah, you need the other team to have a result as well.
That you don't control.
Uh-huh.
To collapse, control the result.
You control your result.
Which is the only one that it takes to collapse. You just need to lose.
Okay, well, they just need to win.
But they also need other teams to lose.
Well, last year they needed other teams to win to have that happen that way. And that's how it happened.
Okay.
I want everyone to win.
You do?
I want everyone to win and have a good time.
So good of you.
Yeah. It's a good one today, guys.
Today's show?
I love these shows.
What do you mean, the short shows?
All of them.
I love
all of our shows.
After Caleb Williams' debuts.
I love all of our shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this show too.
I mean, Shane.
I love you guys.
We've worked together long enough.
Long enough. Yeah,
we've worked together long enough that you know that a show is going to be good.
Yeah.
We've worked together long enough.
Yep.
All right, get out of here. We got Mark Grody coming up. And I got the wrap it up sign. You can't get the sentiment.
Listen to Tanny when he gives you the wrap it up sign. You look at me like you're seeing a ghost when I give you the wrap it up sign.
The man is the adult in the room.
Yeah. Thank you, Connor and Lapka, Shane, our executive producer, Tanny making us sound better than we are each and every day. For Spiegs, I'm Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.